Hi, my name is Sharik Siddiqui. I'm the Executive Director for the Association for Research on Nonprofit Organizations and Voluntary Action, or popularly known as ARNOVA. I'm a former doctoral student from IU. I have a PhD in philanthropic studies. I'm also an attorney, and I work mostly with nonprofit organizations. I serve on the board of two organizations. One is called the Islamic Seminary Foundation, which I'll talk about second, and then the Center on American Muslim Philanthropy. In essence, the Center on American Muslim Philanthropy has three parts that it wants to focus on. It wants to focus on research. How do we push ideas about Muslim philanthropy and civil society out there? Because it's an under-researched area. Second, it's practitioner-based, and finally, it's on the philanthropy side, helping donors think about how to be more effective with their fundraising or their grant giving. But the focus that brought us to the Center for Digital Scholarship was our research side. Because this is an under-researched area, we wanted to create a space on Muslim philanthropy and civil society that was readily accessible out there. And without the traditional barriers that research may find in an institutional academy. You know, you have bricks and mortars institutions, you have publishing agencies like publishing houses like Sage and others that for legitimate reasons have a cost associated with them. And which is great if you're an established discipline and there's already a lot of great work being done in that area. But an area like ours, which is under-researched, and people are asking the questions of what Islam is, what Muslims are, and how they engaged in things like civil society and philanthropy. For example, the Arab Spring took us all by surprise, and now we have this incredible amount of interest in what caused all of that, both on the philanthropy side, but also on the civic actor side. And so when we were thinking about a partner to help us sort of pioneer or sort of blaze the trail in this area, you know, the Center for Digital Scholarship was a really good partner in a number of ways. One, they're open to this kind of a project. They want to blaze the digital trail for all of that, and so there was harmony in ideas and visions there. The second thing is they're committed to open access, and so are we, because we believe that. It's not enough to do the research, get it printed, and have it stuck in a library. We want this information available regardless of whether you have library access. Across the Muslim world, there are many institutions that don't have really amazing libraries, but there are some really good scholars out there. And how do we get this scholarship out to them? There may be younger scholars that may not have the journal that we decide, the journal that we are putting together may not be within their budgetary interests, right? In order for a library to make the kinds of choices of what they'll include in their budget in terms of journals, the Journal on Muslim Philanthropy and Civil Society may not be high up on that list. So we wanted to make this information easily available. The Center for Digital Scholarship, because it's part of IU, Indiana University, because it has such a strong relationship with the Lilly School of Philanthropy, you know, was the right partner for us because the center and IU gives the legitimacy that normally a published version like Sage and so on would. So that was really important. And then we started the conversation, and the thing that helped us further along was because it was so easy to work with them. I've worked with Ted Pauley, and you know, he's really helped us through thinking about what the back end should look like and how I should do these things. And I'm not the most technically savvy people, and they've been open to that. They've spent the time with us to make that happen. And so when you're trying to blaze a trail and when you're trying to pioneer something, the difference, and one of my focus is always about nonprofit startups and turnarounds, right? And the major factor that goes into whether a nonprofit is going to be successful or not is the barriers to entry, right? And working with the Center for Digital Scholarship reduces those barriers for entry for us. And so we're excited about launching the Journal on Muslim Philanthropy and Civil Society. It'll be under-researched. I know just by the fact that I've written a couple of articles about this stuff, and I have people from all over the world that have read the articles, not necessarily because I'm a great author, but because, you know, there's a dearth of resources, and we think that our journal being open access, being available, it's still peer-reviewed, it'll still go for Thomson Reuters rankings, it'll do all the things that a traditional paper journal would do, but it would do it in a way that it's accessible and it doesn't have the traditional barriers that higher institution or the academy legitimately, in some cases, puts up that we wanted to do something. In the second thing, the second journal that we're working with is called Journal on Islamic Faith and Practice. And I'm on the board of the Islamic Seminary Foundation, which will be launching a new seminary in Washington, D.C. area in the next year or so. But the idea was that when you're launching a seminary and you're trying to think about training imams and chaplains, you really want to think about the disconnect, as we all know, if we look at global news, between Islamic theology and the practice of Islam, and different people interpreting it differently. Almost down to the point where in the same town, in the same mosque, different individuals with attending the same mosque may be thinking about this. And so this requires an academic setting that brings together scholars of theology, scholars of economics and different, depending on the topic that you're talking about, whether you're talking about giving or whether you're talking about food or nutrition or something, depending, you want to bring scholars of theology with scholars of that group, and then you also want to bring the practice folks. You want to bring the ministers or the imams or the or chaplains to the table. And to do that in itself is such a hard piece. You know, you're bringing all these people together. So our thought was, let's invest in that convening of that groups to produce some really interesting research, which would be, again, pioneering, cutting edge, and so on. Islam has been around for 1,400 years. This process has happened for 1,400 years, but over the last couple of hundred years, this interpreting of knowledge in terms of the present day has stopped, or has stopped institutionally. So our thought was, let's convene these actors, have this discussion, invest in bringing them together, and not focus on a paper, bricks and mortar kind of piece. And again, the same principles that helped the Journal on Muslim Philanthropy and Civil Society helped the Journal on Islamic Faith and Practice. Both are peer-reviewed. Both have distinguished editorial boards. Both have well-known academics that are leading and putting their name as journal editors there. But the great thing is that we don't have to worry about whether a publisher will think it's viable, whether someone will subscribe it, whether we'll publish it and there'll be 10 versions sitting in someone's basement somewhere. You know, all this knowledge will be out there. For the Islamic Faith and Practice, I would argue it's even more important to be open access and digital, because the consumers of that are not just scholars. They're individuals that are trying to grapple with modernity and Islamic theology that hasn't been interpreted for over a couple of years, 100 years. And so not to say that this journal will give, you know, rulings or fatwas, but will provide frameworks for discussion and understanding all these issues. So I think for both the Journal on Muslim Philanthropy and Civil Society, as well as the Islamic Faith and Practice, you know, the open access piece is so important because it's the accessibility piece. And then working with the Center for Digital Scholarship allows IU, in essence, you know, and God bless Indiana University for doing this. They have now, in essence, taken over the bricks and mortar cost and have become a catalyst in helping all these amazing ideas. So because of IU's investment, two journals will come up that normally people wouldn't really invest in. And IU wouldn't be able to invest in these two journals because of limited funding. But IU, by making the Center for Digital Scholarship available as a partner and as a catalyst, we can then build upon that, and it becomes a great partnership. And I think it's a great way in which big institutions can work with small entrepreneurial academic associations or ideas and so on in order to catalyze and sort of continue to blaze the trail.